This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This song is from the perspective of a sad, short, coy, squirrely little Jewish man. If I had a golden mic,
if I had a golden mic,
oh, my mom would hug me too. Not just Jake, that's cruel. If I had a golden mic,
if I had a golden mic,
well, I would be invited back to game night.
Back off, I'm the doctor, dude, alright.
If I had a golden mic,
if I had a golden mic,
well, lonely and horny wouldn't be an exact documentation of my life. If I had a golden mic,
oh, Jake Hurwitz,
if I were you,
if I were you,
if I were you,
if I had a golden mic,
like so many titties on my shelf,
if I had a golden mic,
if I could be anybody else,
if I had a golden mic, oh, my life would be complete.
Oh, I know I get the turdy this week for wanting it too bad. And you know what? Jake's the man. He gets the golden mic already. That's gotta be a record or something. Getting the golden mic in the theme song. You're the man, Jake Hurwitz. And I'm a little turd man collecting turdies. If I Were You show starts now.
Huge.
Wow.
Huge.
That is a record, right?
That's absolutely a record. I'm floored. I'm actually humbled, honored, and chuffed. I'm right cheesed by this. I can't believe I was awarded the golden mic in the theme song. That's definitely the earliest any mic has ever been given. Yeah. First time.
Nothing's been said yet.
It's crazy. Yeah, but so much
it
has
is
been
crazy.
Said. So much has been said through this through the theme song. I love the idea that sort of my past performance on the 385 shows has sort of like that's golden mic worthy in and of itself.
I hate that. That's a dangerous.
The streak was worth the award.
No, that's a really dangerous precedent.
I think. I mean, the song speaks for itself. There's nothing else to be said, and I appreciate it, and I am humbled by it, and I am chuffed. I really am chuffed.
That was Jordan Holmes, who wanted to give a shout-out to Vikes Improv and Yes Ampersand at the University of Victoria. Last time he submitted a theme song, he told us to visit Victoria, and we mistakenly thought he meant Vancouver, but he actually wanted us to tap into the flourishing fan base of the Canadian island that he currently resides on.
Where is Victoria?
I guess it's an island off the coast of Canada. Victoria, Canada.
I'd love to go. I'm a big fan of Canada. I'm a fan of it.
Nice.
Thanks.
Made even more so by the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, dude.
NBA Finals bound, actually by the time you hear this episode, 2 games deep into their first NBA Finals ever.
Is it Thursday, Friday, the games?
Thursday, Sunday. Yeah.
Wow, really spreading it out.
Yeah, the finals are more spread out because they only want the games to appear on high TV watching days.
Of course.
Victoria is near Vancouver. It is indeed an island near Vancouver.
So shout out Victoria.
Vancouver deserves a basketball team.
They had one.
Who was it?
The Vancouver Grizzlies.
Oh, and then they moved to Memphis?
That's right. Then they moved and became the Memphis Grizzlies.
Are there grizzly bears in Tennessee?
It doesn't matter. There's no lakes in LA either. There's no Jazz in Utah.
There's
sometimes the
no
mascot
jazz.
Doesn't change.
LA has Lake Toluca Lake, Silver Lake Reservoir.
Yeah, that's what the Lakers are named after, the Silver Lake Reservoir.
Where were the Lakers before?
Minneapolis.
Yeah, that makes sense.
10,000 lakes. Yeah, that's a lot of lakes.
That makes sense. We don't deserve to be the Lakers. We're mostly a desert climate.
The LA cacti. Actually, I just read this article about how the Raptors were named because they were expansion team in 1996. So they had like hundreds of names that they were considering that were fan submitted. Then they whittled it down to 10, and Raptors were one of them. And they think that won out because Jurassic Park was so popular in 1993 or four.
Yeah.
That the Raptors won out because of that.
I mean, that totally makes sense. There's no world that velociraptors are like a well-known dinosaur without Jurassic Park.
That's right.
You never knew what a raptor was.
A funny runner-up was Saurus Rex, so they'd be called Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Oh, that's goddamn. If I had been awarded the Golden Mic in the theme song, that's such a good pun. I think you would have been a contender.
So let's just... Let's start the episode over. I'll use the theme song for the next episode.
No, we're not going to do that. Let's not. I don't want to get bogged down in this. You were close. I was awarded the Golden Mic earlier. I can't give it to you now.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
But it was fine. It was a really good pun.
Even my pun. I was just. It actually was one of the top 10 options that they were considering.
Is that true?
Yeah, and beavers and tarantulas were also up there.
Torontosaurus Rex.
Yeah, was one of the options.
Wow. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That is crazy.
Oh, and also dragons finished like third or fourth, which would have been cool. Yeah. A lot of people are saying with Game of Thrones now, if the raptors were being named today, dragons would probably be the raptors.
Definitely. That would have been cool.
The Toronto Dragons.
That was my... I didn't go to Hampton High. The town that I lived in was the Hampton Dragons.
Yeah, you might as well go for a... huge mythical beast. If it the mascot doesn't matter,
right? My high school was the Hornets.
Yeah,
like, that's not good. Yeah, guys.
That's an insect.
Yeah, those are. I mean, they're sort of frightening, but they're not really like they're not fearsome and ferocious.
Yeah, when you have a chance between a bee and a dragon, why would you choose the bee?
Right, you would run towards the bee in that situation. You run towards the bee.
Watch out, it's the bees. They'll make us honey tonight, which is fine, but don't sting me.
Honey's one of my favorite foods.
What's the worst mascot?
I guess probably one of like the racist ones. Redskins. The Redskins.
Yeah, the Indians. It's pretty bad.
That's got to be bad.
What about the Beavers? Oregon State is the Beavers.
I mean, I think the Jazz is really bad. It's kind of fun to say, but like... there's a, like, look out, the Jazz is coming.
Yeah.
Like, and here comes the Jazz.
And you don't know whether to say, like, here are the Jazz or here is the Jazz.
Yeah, that's definitely not a good one.
The Jazz are in town. Mm-hmm. The Jazz is here.
Terrible.
It's just music.
It's just, yeah, it's really bad.
It's not frightening. I guess it could be loud.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And then again, sometimes you really dance like a maniac, and that's a little scary.
Yeah. Thunder?
I love the Thunder. That's a great name.
Because it's just an audio, much like the Jazz.
Yeah, but I think that the Thunder is kind of fun because it's like very OKC. Like it is like the center of a storm.
Right.
There's lots of like...
What about Magic? That's not even anything. Yeah. The Orlando Magic.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, I would have vetoed that. If people were like, what do you think of the Orlando Magic? I'd be like, it should be an animal or a thing. Magic is just an idea that you can trick people with sleight of hand.
Right. But it also, it's a little weird to just make the mascot another, like an animal. Like, so there's so many animals. Like,
yeah.
the Chicago Bears, the Grizzlies. There's like the Cubs. Mm-hmm. There's just like a lot of bear-based mascots.
Yeah. The so Bruins, little, Boston Bruins.
Yeah. It's a little old. You
yeah.
know? So I think you gotta go into the fantasy
Washington
world, so.
Wizards fantasy.
Mm, that's like not. I mean, if you're gonna go to fantasy, you should call them like the Krakens.
Huh?
Like, why not call them the Kraken?
I don't know what that is.
It's like a giant squid.
The Washington giant squids.
No, I said the Washington Krakens.
Krakens?
Yeah, Krakens. Release the Kraken. Didn't you ever see Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah, I don't remember. But Kraken, so that means Kraken is plural already.
No, it's one. It is one.
A single. Kraken. He's asking to release one giant squid.
I guess, like, yeah, you would, I think it'd be sort of similar to the Thunder. Like, it's, it can mean both, but you really only need one. It's more of a unit. This team is the Kraken. Because it's also interesting because there's eight players on the court at all time.
No, that's not true. Right. What do you think?
If you didn't interrupt me and correct me, people might have not ever said anything.
So you're suggesting that it's eight players on one team at the same time, or it's a 4-on-4 game?
Oh, that's interesting too.
Either one is wrong. I'm just wondering which one.
Well, it's eight people on the court.
No,
if you count the refs.
No, if you count the refs, it's 13.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm saying
five on five, three refs. So where do you get eight?
Well, because it's five players, three refs for each team.
Oh, I see. So you're saying like you're like one of those sarcastic fans. Like, sorry, we couldn't beat you 8-on-5. It's like eight players are on your team.
Yeah. So you're
that's not what you meant.
Your home. No, it is. No, it really is. It really is.
Because there's only two refs, so that would be seven.
Right. Okay. Well, so I meant, so like it's five players, two refs, and the coach. So that's eight right there.
Yeah, there is three refs. I just keep zigzagging to see if you'll call me out or if you know anything. But you don't.
No.
Orlando Octopi. Who says no?
I guess the guy, me, who wants to call them the Orlando Kraken.
That's cool.
The Basilisks.
Huh?
A Basilisk?
What's that?
It's like another fantasy monster. The orcs.
But Orlando orcs.
Yeah, Orlando orcs.
That'd be cool when they played the Wizards.
Yeah. Oh, man. God, what a fun fantasy league.
Now you can get back into fantasy basketball. You finished second in your fantasy basketball league.
I did. Me and Rosie, head to head.
And will you ever play again?
No, I will never play again.
The mark of a great league is when it's over, you never want back in.
I mean, I like the guys in the league, and like everybody's cool, but like I don't like fretting. Like I set my lineup multiple times, like looking at the waiver wire, proposing trades.
It's too much.
Like, it's not that fun to me.
It's pretty crazy that you finished second despite all that.
Well, because I was so competitive. I like really wanted to.
Oh, so you did. You did play well.
Yeah. I mean, I think I did. Every time there was like trades proposed, I asked you and Marty. Mm-hmm. I was constantly like picking up players off the waiver wire, just trying to like get a volume, get enough games going when I had injuries.
You're more injured than the players that you were subbing out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm crippled.
All right. This isn't a basketball podcast. That's this another podcast buckets. I do. This is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
I figured since we're both in the same room, we're hanging out, we should invite one of our other friends to join us.
Who?
I don't know if you've seen him around since you've been in LA, but do you happen to know if the Game Boy's any?
Oh!
Oh my God!
Did you say game?
He's already here.
Did someone summon the Game Boy?
The Game Boy was under the couch.
Oh!
He must have been here for 3 weeks.
I've been edging for 3 weeks waiting for someone to say game.
What if we didn't even get to you today, Game Boy?
I might have died.
Month. Yeah.
Oh!
All right. Well, since you're here, since you're borderline about to orgasm, why don't you try to come up with a word that I can search my email box for, and the point of the game is to find an email that uses that word, but only one email.
One email.
One email that uses this slightly esoteric word.
I will choose the word doink.
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 It's pretty good.
D-O-I-N-K. Doink, doink, doink. Doinky, doink.
Onomatopoeia. Huge, if true. There's only two emails that use the word doink.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Not even a spam. This is a true two.
Damn.
Options are doink thy neighbor as you would doink thyself, or am I asexual?
Ooh. I guess I feel like I know both of these questions already.
I think we should go doink thy neighbor.
Yeah, that's at least a dumb title.
Doink thy neighbor, written by a lady who we'll call Jolene.
Doinkleen
writes, Hi, guys. Love the podcast. Recently, I went on a Tinder date with a guy where we had a couple drinks, went to his place, and made out.
Ooh.
We got along fine. The conversations flowed pretty well, but I didn't think our personalities were compatible. I was pretty indifferent about him after the date in terms of attraction level, and I found him to be slightly annoying. As we were on the way to his apartment, we found out that he lives on the same street as me, about two blocks away. I can tell that he is really into me, and the fact that he is my neighbor would make hookups so convenient. I don't want to give him the wrong idea that I want to be in a relationship, but I'm really intrigued by a friends with benefits situation since we live so close to each other. Should I be upfront about wanting to have a physical relationship even though he seems like he wants to date me legitimately? Or should I tell him that I don't think we're compatible so he doesn't get the wrong idea of my intentions and miss out on potential convenient other doinkage? Should I do something else? Thanks for your help. Doylene.
Doylene. Interested in the doinkage. So, wait, so she had a bad date, didn't like the guy, found out he lives close to her, and is now considering having a friends with benefits situation.
Just out of sheer convenience.
That's not convenient at all.
Why?
If you don't like somebody, and then you find out that they live close to you, the opposite of what you want to do is, like, make it more complicated.
Because you might see them on the day, on the street.
Yeah. It seems like having a bad date with somebody, then finding out they're your neighbor is like, great. We need more distance.
Yeah.
Not like, all right, we had a bad date. Oh, but damn, you live next door? I don't even know if I would recommend hooking up with your neighbor if you liked them.
Although this person lives on the same street, but two blocks away. So not a full neighbor, just a semi-convenient down the street, two blocks away neighbor.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how lazy you have to be like, I need my hookup buddy to live two blocks away. Like, 10 minutes in an Uber is fine.
Let's see where this person
you
lives.
You could be on your phone the whole time.
It's an EDU email address, so I can see. Oh, it's Chicago.
Chicago? You're good. You're good. There's so many people in freaking Chicago, man.
But it also gets really cold. So, like, if you want some doinkage, you don't want to walk more than 30 seconds.
I really think on your block there's like 30 more eligible bachelors that you could hook up with.
That'd be cool. A Tinder, but for your block. Like in a densely populated city.
Yeah, but
you're like,
too
just
risky.
Show me the 1,000 people that live with literally on my street.
I just think that you don't. I've hooked up with neighbors in the past, and then your entire life is just like, you're about to leave and then you hear their keys turning. You're like, oh, nope, I've got to stay in. Or if they like knock on your door, you have to like be completely silent because you don't want to go to answer it.
Or you're waiting for the elevator and you hear them coming. So you'll like plank and you have to pretend you're a fucking welcome mat.
I've dove down a trash chute before.
But it was so thin that like my body fell down, but my head got stuck. And then turns out my neighbor, who wasn't even the neighbor that I had hooked up with, just needed to like throw trash away.
But I had to just, because I thought that my neighbor might walk in, I just opened my mouth and pretended to be a trash can.
I was probably a trash can for an hour to avoid my neighbor that I made out with 3 years before that.
Yeah. So I guess I would just not recommend hooking up with somebody because of close convenience, because that close convenience will turn into a inconvenience.
Yeah, this is almost like two cons but only one pro. Like, you find him annoying and he lives close, so it's not worth it. If he lived far away and you found him annoying, you would never see him, then maybe. Or if you liked him, or if you didn't find him annoying but he lived close, then that's fine too.
Right.
But because it's both of those things, we recommend not doing that.
Yeah, it's all negatives, and you're like, buddy lives close, like, which is another negative if you think about it. This guy I don't like who likes me lives close to me. That sounds bad.
How quickly can you tell that your personality is not compatible with someone on a date? Are you a quicker, or are you like, I don't know, we've only been out once?
Right away.
Instantly.
Yeah, because also, I don't know if it's like a person. I mean, no, instantly. Yeah, instantly.
For like even the hug hello.
I don't think that instantly.
Yeah.
Usually I could, I mean, I'm married now, so I don't really.
You don't date that often. I don't. But you'll date still that often. Go out.
Yeah.
Like, so, you'll still like go steady with someone.
Right. So like I deleted Tinder, but I still have Hinge.
Hinge for when I'm hitched. But that would be an interesting open relationship. Is you can hook up with anyone, but you could still go on first dates.
That'd be kind of interesting.
So it's like, I'll still let you do the bad parts of relationships, which is like getting to know someone, but right. nothing else.
Yeah, I wonder if like if you had an open relationship where you could go on first dates.
Yeah,
that would be pretty. Like, I don't think I ever would.
I'll just get all you're allowed to do is get two drinks with someone, hug them, and say goodbye.
But I always liked dating. I think I hear from people that like are exhausted by it, and that
never, you never got fatigued from it.
That never happened to me. I always thought it was like every time I had a date set, it was like, oh, this could go any way. It'll yeah. be kind of interesting.
And were your bad dates boring, or were they like worse than that?
They were just boring. Like I would be sitting with somebody who like I had like red flags to me. It was like I went on one date with somebody who was just like complained about her mom the entire time. And I was like, I think this is like a negative. You have like maybe a negative personality, or at the very least, like you have a bad relationship with your mom. And I can't relate to that because I love my mom so much.
This is you like, talking to her. Yeah. I'm going to stop you right there. But I love my mommy.
I think one of the stories she told, I straight up sided with her mom and I didn't say anything. Like, yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Damn. But I'm like sitting there being like, your mom sounds fine. She sounds cool.
You're the problem.
And like being rude to waiters, which I never really saw that much. I don't know. I actually, for as long as I was single, I never really had very many bad dates.
But you would know whether the personality wasn't compatible within the first date.
Definitely within the first date. Were you somebody that would be like, oh, that wasn't great, but I'll see them again and see if I get to like them more?
No, I was pretty, I snap judgmental, guilty until proven innocent.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So you would know like within a hug if they were not right for you?
Not within a hug, but within like the first 3 minutes of conversation.
Right.
Voice, opinion, intelligence, height, teeth. Eyes, shoulder.
You're talking about you, because you show up 4'9" with no teeth, a single shoulder.
I only have one shoulder to cry on. This is me holding up a fucking little notepad. Very nice. What'd you see your name was? Turn around.
You look like Picasso.
How long is your hair? Holding a ruler.
I need it for my journal.
Where are you
going? Hold on, my car's being towed.
No, I think all my quote-unquote bad dates were like just an incompatibility thing. Like, this is obviously we're not liking each other, but now we have to, you know, go through 30 to 60 minutes of conversation.
Yeah, but I think it's definitely different for girls because there have been like, I think I talked about this before, but like at least two or three times when I was on dates and the woman would just sort of sigh and be like, oh, thank God you're normal.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have to beat a high bar.
Well,
so,
that's
like, every girl that I went on a date with, just about, was normal. And I think for girls, that's like a threshold that actually not everybody meets.
Yeah, like, the worst the date can be for a lady is, like, dangerous and creepy. Like,
right.
we would never feel endangered.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like something that a female has to deal with.
Right.
Like, there's a chance that this guy is dangerous and bad.
Yeah, the spectrum goes way, way further into the negative.
Yeah, for us it's like, oh, that was just, we didn't click.
Yeah.
That's as bad as it gets.
Mm-hmm. There was one time where I went out with somebody who got really drunk and I like at the time didn't have a lot of money and she was like, she got two drinks and was kind of wasted and they wanted to order food. And I was like, oh no, this is just going to be I was like, I wanted to get a drink because it was cheap.
Yeah.
I have like,
it was bad. A funny similar story is I went on a first date to Dave and Buster's. And it was one of those things where like we were kind of not into each other, but we were in like in a very fun gamey environment. So it was like two bored people walking around to different games. And the way it works, it's like you don't put in like coins or tokens. They have like gift cards. So she had one for $75 that I misplaced. I left in a machine or whatever. I couldn't find it because I fucked up. So at the end of the night, I had to buy her $75 Dave and Buster's gift card and never saw her again.
That's so funny.
I'm like, I'm sorry. I have to buy you a $75 Dave and Buster's.
Was she like a Dave and Buster's? Did she love Dave and Buster's?
Maybe she got it or something.
It's so like the date was like, she's like, I have a gift card. We'll go to Dave and Buster's
yeah.
to use it.
Which is a very fun start.
It is. It's just, it's funny that, like,
it was just sad we spent $6 of it, didn't enjoy ourselves, and I misplaced the card and had to buy her out.
God, that's so funny.
I guess I could have been a real asshole and been like, sorry. I guess I kind of goofed up there. Anyway, it was so awesome meeting you.
What you really should have done is just be like, oh man, I'll get you a new one. Excuse me. Gone. Put $5 on it.
Let's play one more game. Let's not. Let's save it for our 1 year anniversary and we'll use it then.
I have to go. All right. I'm going to play basketball, I guess. No.
There's not enough money for the hoops.
Shut out.
Or say, all right, I feel bad. I'll refill your card. I do have to go to the bathroom first. And then I crawl out of a crawl space.
Crawl into a game. Become a trash can at Dave & Buster's.
For 3 years, I was a claw machine just to avoid a debt.
I swallowed tokens and
grabbed stuffed animals, throwing them down a chute for people. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and answer some more questions with the Game Boy. Oh, thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah, yeah. That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world, or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right,
you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's betterhelp.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. And we're back. Jake, or Game Boy, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little sooner than I...
No. Thanks, Game Boy. Thanks. But I do. Jake does.
Okay.
My advice,
yeah,
and you reminded me of it, uh-huh, is that people should go to the doctor.
Okay. Always or?
Every day.
Jesus.
Well, first, actually, when's the last time you got like a physical? When's, yeah, the last time you like went to the doctor?
Years ago. I should do that more often.
I don't think I've gone to the doctor in, actually, like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, who knows what my cholesterol is?
Yeah, I have no fucking clue. I don't know the last time I got a general checkup.
Right. Okay, so that's one thing.
So we should definitely do that. Let's go get checkups. You want to make a little pact?
That'd be a good podcast. The checkup checkup. So you get a checkup, and then we check up on each other.
Oh, that'd be really fun to, like, it'd be kind of hard to produce, but, like, a podcast where your guest is required to go to the doctor and then come to you and talk about it.
They get really alarming news.
Results.
You got diabetes, baby.
There's a theme song for it. So I went to the foot doctor, a podiatrist, if right, you will. As everybody knows, I suffer from many different foot ailments.
Chronic, almost.
So I had a friend who also had a foot ailment. It was like, oh, I went to this podiatrist, and they're really great. And they, like, found the problem. Like, nobody could figure out what it was. They took an MRI. They figured it out. They fixed it. She got surgery and is doing better.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I should do that. Because the turf toe that I got with our friend Sean
in Hawaii,
ago,
yeah,
still hurts. So
this is not your broken heel foot.
No, the broken heel foot, like, it hurts sometimes, but, like,
overall,
also half the time it doesn't hurt at all. Okay. So, like, I think I can, like, live with that. I've also gotten an MRI on that foot, and people are like, yeah, I can see, like, it's inflamed here, but there's not really anything
you can do.
No. So I went to this podiatrist. I told him that the joint near my toe still hurts. And it seems like, since I have a bunion there, it's like, I just assumed that it was like bunion pain.
Turf toe is like when your big toe gets bent back all the way and you feel like something strain.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like hyperextending your big, like your toe box.
Uh-huh.
That's like what initially injured me. And then I was like, oh, but I have a bunion. So like once that was over, I was like, yeah, I think that like my turf toe did something to my bunion. The shape of my foot makes it hard to heal.
So and this was like, just your estimation.
I went to a doctor in LA right after it happened who like took an X-ray, didn't see a break, saw my bunion and it was like, you should do insoles. You should do like bunion stuff, like toe separators.
So he just looked to see if the bones were intact. They were, but he never did an MRI to see if the muscles or the ligaments or the tendons were fine.
And I think that doctor was like, we could do an MRI, but it was like close to that MRI that I had gotten on my other foot, which didn't do anything for me. So I was like, I don't know. I'm not going to do that. Like, I think it's fine. As long as it's not broken, I'm just going to like stay off it. Anyway, 2 years later, it still hurt. And then I went to, it hasn't been like limiting my movement. Like I still run, I still bike, I still climb.
It's just less comfortable.
Yeah. The things that hurt the most are just like walking barefoot to the bathroom. That's like.
That you can't do. At home, you're wearing sandals, orthopedic.
I wear geriatric orthopedic sandals everywhere. Pack them. I wear them. I do not do anything barefoot.
And that's because like hardwood on your boned feet presses stuff and hurts it
hurts
a lot.
Yeah, it hurts a lot. So
you're like, you know what? I'm going to go to the doctor again.
Right.
I'm going to finally get an MRI.
A lot is like hopping on my left foot. Like,
that would be
basically
the most pain.
Pushing off my toe box just hurts a ton. And like having no shoe hurts the most.
The most painful would be you barefoot on a cement floor hopping on your left foot.
Yeah, that would be excruciatingly painful.
And it's funny because that sounds instantly, obviously doctor worthy, but you're like, yeah, but I just won't do that and I'll be fine.
Yeah, well, because I have like a bunion and I'm just like, I think that's just bunion. People have bunion pain. So I finally went to this doctor. He's like, because you can get bunion surgery. So he's like, it might be like good. There's like a 90% success rate. You'll be pain-free in like 6 weeks. And I was like, oh.
Bunion is like when your big toe jets out from your foot.
Jets like in. It's sort of like curving towards
the toes.
Towards my little toe.
Which like makes, the big joint makes like a little bump outside your foot.
Yeah, exactly. Mine is like almost the size of another toe.
Got it.
You can
see. So you have six toes at this point.
So he's like, yeah, you can like get this bunion surgery. It will reduce your, you'll basically be pain-free after this is over.
Which you can't even imagine.
No. And also like I did that like, I think it was like six weeks on the knee scooter when I broke my heel, and
yeah,
it didn't really help that much. And so I'm like, and it was also, it sucked so much. Like I'm still scarred by it. So I didn't want to do that again. I didn't want to like be on crutches for 2 months. It's like, it's the pain's annoying, but nothing is more annoying than like being immobile. And then he was like, you'll be in a walking boot pretty much right away. In 4 weeks, you'll be 80% recovered. And I was like, oh, that, it feels like I'm at like 60% right now.
So he did an MRI.
Oh yeah. So he did an MRI.
And he said,
that I tore my ligament. I just have a torn ligament.
For the last 2.5 years, I've been walking on a torn ligament.
Yeah. On my left foot.
Which he could have fixed right away, but you just never got an MRI.
Correct.
So now 2.5 years later, he's like, by the way, I can sew it together and it'll heal.
Yeah. So like my quality of life from, I could have like not shoved insoles into my wedding shoes. I could have like, I just could have had like a pain-free, basically last 2 years could have been pain-free. Uh-huh. But I opted, if I had done 6 months of recovery.
Yeah.
Or no, sorry, 6 weeks of recovery and then like 6 months of like the last 20%, which is just kind of like light activity. Like I think he said I can still like exercise. I would have the last 2 years pain-free. I would not have had any foot pain.
Do you know what ligament it is? Is it like your big toe or?
Yeah, it's like in my big toe. And I think maybe like it's, oh, he said, so there's, I guess there's two ligaments. There's one on like each side of your toe. Like one, it's sort of like, you know, holding it straight. Uh-huh. And the one on the outside of my toe is torn, which is like allowing my toe to curve in a little bit more.
Not like strained or sprained or slightly. It's just completely torn, disconnected.
Yeah, just torn.
When you took a tumble in Hawaii, it snapped.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. He said torn. I think that like, I don't know what torn means. If it's just like,
yeah,
it's frayed and it's like a little longer than it should be. Or
right.
I feel like snapped would
have been more noticeable.
I would think so.
Maybe it's like a thick rubber band with like half of the width is cut or something.
I guess that's what I imagine. It's also like as soon as he told me that, I was sitting in my car when he told me and my foot instantly started hurting more. Like as soon as you know, like it's not just my bunion that I get relief from my insoles from. It's straight up.
It's the mental awareness that you are strained, broken, and torn.
Yeah.
So what's the plan?
My plan now is to schedule a surgery for, I think, I want to do it like in November because right. I don't want to like be on a boot for 4 weeks in the summer again.
See,
it's just not good. I've been doing this for 2 years. I think I'm just going to continue. I want to have one nice summer.
Surgery day before Thanksgiving. Then you just lay down and force people to feed you.
That's
through exactly. December.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
And in late January, you emerge again.
And then I get back on the climbing wall.
That'd be fun. God, can you imagine no pain in your foot?
No, I really can't.
What would you complain about 24/7? I mean, you won't shut up about it.
I guess I'll probably talk about other pain that I have somewhere else.
That's cool.
Yeah. I hurt my finger.
Can you just fix everything? Just put me in a medically induced coma and do every surgery possible.
All my appendages. Make me a bionic man, please.
Like, doesn't your back hurt sometimes too?
Yeah, my back. Well, I pulled it. I mean, I always try to, after I come back from an injury, I like try to strengthen whatever it is that I hurt so I don't hurt it again.
Yeah.
And I like had, so I've been trying to do like all these core exercises so I don't hurt my back. And every once in a while, those core exercises will make me pull my back.
Joke's on you, I guess. All right, let's try to find one more, two more questions that we can answer.
Your turn to play the game.
All right.
Oh!
Here we go, Game Boy. I'm going to search steroid. Singular. Ooh, there's a lot. There's 17 steroid questions. Here we go. My boyfriend is a complete lunatic. Help.
Yes.
Hey, assholes. We'll call this guy Gary.
All right.
Hey, assholes. I'm in the middle of a crazy-ass situation. Me and my boyfriend just broke about 3 weeks ago, and the result of it was, because of his own insecurities, I'm a gay 19-year-old male who is completely open with my sexuality. Me and him have been through a lot during this short period of time, and I won't get into the details, but with him being bipolar and having a personality... I'm almost scared of this asshole. He keeps contacting me through various social media networks. I've blocked him a million times, and I don't know what to do. Part of me still cares for him, but part of me wants to just completely get rid of him and forget that we've ever been together. Please help me. How do I get rid of this steroid-taking prick? P.S. Jake, you're really sexy.
Oh, thank you.
So wow. That was all one long sentence.
Right. So that's an example of why we usually screen questions.
I would not reach out. I would continue blocking him. I would make sure that, I don't know, when people are that insane and trying to reach you, is it better to keep your distance and avoid them, or does that just make them go crazier and crazier?
I guess the one thing that I always come back to when there's like, issues of mental health in a relationship. I think it's really sad, very hard, but it's not your responsibility. You're a 19-year-old. This guy has issues that he needs to work out, and you, even though you like, you actually can't help him. There's ways to support him if you like really want to like buy in, but I think the best thing to do is contact people that are closer to him, like his parents, his brother, sisters, best friends, teachers, somebody who can help that isn't like as tied to it as you are.
Yeah. I also remember, this is like a lighter version. I remember breaking up with someone and then trying to be like, I'm not going to contact her. I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to distance myself and be very cold. And then that just made the other person like angrier, frustrated, and sad because like we were in a relationship and now I'm just like acting like mean to her.
Yeah.
So then eventually I was like, I had a conversation with her where I was a little more warm and amicable, but explained that we were broken up, and that seemed to help. I don't know what this guy's done though, but maybe sometimes there is something to like giving the other person a little bit so that they understand and don't grow frustrated and angry again.
Yeah. I think everyone's different. And so if you like are just straight up blocking this guy and like ignoring him and he's freaking out, you might want to just give him like a tiny little like a check-in to be like, hey, I see that you're trying to contact me, but like this is what's best for me. I think it's what's best for you. You need help from somebody else.
Right.
Like just you're not being letting them know that they're not being completely ignored, left alone, left in the dust, that you've like thought about what is going on. You haven't forgotten about them.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if we can get one more question. Do you have one last word so that we can play the game?
Oh, tartar.
Tartar.
I was thinking more of like a beef tartar, but I think if you do it as one word, it's going to end up being like tartar. Like,
wow. Again, a true two.
True two.
Non-spam, nothing else. Two questions we've never answered before. With tartar.
Goddamn good at this game.
A hole in two twice. Almost harder than a hole in one once.
I'd say so.
All right. Do you want dental disaster or Filet-O-Fish ruined my life via rap battle at Billy Scafuri?
Okay.
I will tell you that the Filet-O-Fish ruined my life via rap battle at Billy Scafuri appears to be a two-page long rant about the Filet-O-Fish episode we did 2 years ago with Billy.
Okay. Well, shout out to Billy. It was a terrible Filet-O-Fish that we got. Let's go with dental disaster.
Dental disaster seems more manageable right now. And apropos of as we talk about surgery mm-hmm. that you're getting. So this one was written by somebody we'll call... she says she's in a pickle, so we'll call her Vlasic.
Very nice. Also, shout out to my dentist who I... Well, I'll talk about it after you read the question.
Another surgery. Yeah,
the year... Being 33 has been my year of just freaking going to the doc and fixing my problems.
Me and my boyfriend have been dating for 2 years. It's going great. He is the love of my life. Here's the but. He never brushes his teeth. He uses mouthwash to freshen his breath before work, and that's as good as it gets. He brushes once in a while, but it's few and far between, and he has a lot of buildup of tartar. Is that the same tartar? Buildup of tartar?
Yeah, tartar. And I mean, tartar is two words, I believe.
Oh, I see. Buildup of tartar and shit visible on his teeth. I can't find a way to bring it up. At this point, I'm resolved to wait until we get married, add him to my dental insurance plan, and make appointments for him and for us to go together for routine cleanings. That way, it's up to the dentist to scold him for his dental hygiene. That could be years help.
Okay, real quick. Your boyfriend's not going to listen to the dentist. Like, nobody listens to the dentist. It's hard. Like, it will mean more coming from you.
I listen to the dentist a lot, but I guess I'm a different guy than this guy that brushes his teeth, quote, once in a while.
Yeah, I think you have a basis of caring about dental hygiene. And so when the dentist gives you advice, you're like, oh, I'll heed that. That's great. You care about your teeth. This guy doesn't care about his teeth. If the dentist says something, it's not going to make him start caring about his teeth.
God, it must be hard not to brush your teeth more than once in a while.
I mean, that's – you look in the mirror. You see – like, everyone
should smell.
Just,
yeah. You feel it.
You do smell it. You smell your own breath. I mean, that's awful. You should totally say something. You should absolutely. Like, this isn't just a cosmetic thing.
It's not like I wish your ears were smaller.
Yeah, there's like things that you can't come back from, like gum disease, and like he might need a root canal. There's shit that you like.
Yeah, he might lose his teeth.
Yeah, you've got to say something.
Yeah.
Definitely say something. Also, like, routine cleanings aren't gonna, he needs like good daily dental hygiene.
Yeah. Have we talked about the water pick recently? We can't recommend it enough.
Love the water pick. I started going to a dentist in Williamsburg, and I'm like sort of, I have a crush on her.
Uh-huh.
So
I've been brushing very often.
Actually, I've been brushing not at all and keep on going back. I went like 4 times in 3 weeks.
Why?
Once
just to drop off flowers.
I did a... She really like can't... There's everything she suggests. I'm like, yes, of course. Let's do that. Let's do that. Like, I need to remove both your front teeth.
And replace them with white veneers.
I need to put your big toenail... as your molar.
Absolutely, dentist.
You've got it. I love you. I got a deep cleaning of my gums because, uh-huh, like, for me, I had years of buildup that even the water pick, it was too hardened to get to. So I've gotten a fresh start now.
So she's chiseled away the hardened food.
She chiseled
that
away
almost
the hardened
became
food.
Part of your teeth.
And since then, like, flossing has been a dream. There's no pain when I floss.
Wow.
And my gums feel healthy. Eating's easier. I don't know. It's just good. It's bad when you're in the chair, but once you're gone, once you've like have a fresh start and you can like keep it up, having good dental hygiene is so nice.
I guess
your
it's kind of like
life improves.
It's kind of like working out. It's hard to start. But then once you're going and in a routine, it starts feeling good.
Right. Once you make it a habit, like now there were times when like if I had like a long day or if I had like 2 drinks or something, I would get home and be like, oh, I'm like not going to brush my teeth tonight. Or I'm not. I guess I would always brush my teeth. But like maybe I'm like, I'm not going to floss. And then like
I'm
you don't.
I'm so wasted. I don't think I can floss.
And then you don't floss for like, oh man, I'm blacked out. I don't think I freaking flossed last night.
You're flossing right now.
Just the dance though. So I now it's like part of my nightly routine. I basically can't go to sleep unless I floss.
Oh, you need to floss. You absolutely need to floss. But this guy's not even brushing. That's square one.
Yeah.
So I think you could
mouthwash
talk to him
about
mouthwash
does not clean your teeth. You need to scrub.
I think you could talk to him about it from like a health standpoint. Be like, I don't care about the smell or the look. That's shallow. But you might get gum cancer and die. Or, I don't know, do some research about what happens in places where people don't brush their teeth.
That's fair. I think it'll mean more coming from a place of, you look ugly to me with the tartar on your teeth. And I think that's fair. I think that's like, it's not like saying you're not tall enough or something. It's just objectively unattractive and unhealthy to have like your teeth covered in tartar. It's a problem that you need to fix.
There's always something, huh? Love of your life, been dating for 2 years, no problems, but then the tooth thing comes up.
The bad dental hygiene, bad oral hygiene is such a deal breaker. That's like, there could have been a lot of other buts, but this one really gets me.
Where do you land on dandruff? Do you care about that?
Dandruff, I think, can persist like despite your best efforts. Mm. Some people just have like dry scalps.
Yeah.
So I think that's okay.
Like I get dandruff unless I use like dandruff shampoo. So like there's been periods of my life where I got like the dusty shoulders. Which seems to be like the equivalent of like the non-brushed teeth.
It's interesting. That doesn't bother me as much.
Interesting.
If I saw somebody's dandruff, I don't think I would mind at all.
Cracked lips, dry lips.
Oh, that one bothers me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one bothers me.
What else is there? What else bothers you?
Runny nose.
Constantly runny slash bleeding.
That's not really a hygiene
nose.
Thing. That's just a...
Yeah.
Acne doesn't bother me. That's like sort of a hygiene thing, washing your face.
Yeah, but acne is kind of like a genetic thing. Another one of those, despite your best efforts.
Right. Teeth are kind of, oh, long nails.
Unruly, unkempt nails.
Yeah.
What about toes? You like funky, weird, cracked up toes?
I don't think I would care either way if somebody had nice or bad feet. My feet are disgusting, so.
Yeah, who are you?
I think maybe that's, I also like, had dandruff at one point. So maybe like, I had tartar too and it's gross. So I don't think it's like, it's that.
It's like whatever you seek to avoid, you also seek to avoid in your loved one.
Yeah. It's nice. It's beautiful actually. That's really awesome. You're frozen.
All right, that's it. That's our time. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you in Chicago, HeadGum Live, June 14th, 15th, and 16th. Our show is almost sold out.
Yes!
Help us cross the finish line. Come party with us. It's going to be a fun weekend. If you have your own questions, your own theme songs, anything, send them to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Actually, you know what? The opening theme song was so good, I want to play it again. Because playing it just once isn't good enough.
I love this one.
Let me give him another shout out. He was Jordan Holmes. If I Had a $1 Million parody by the Bare Naked Ladies. This one is If I Had a Golden Mic. So thanks, Jordan. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye.
This song is from the perspective of a sad, short, coy, squirrely little Jewish man. If I had a golden mic,
if I had a golden mic,
oh, my mom would hug me too, not just Jake, that's cruel. If I had a golden mic,
if I had a golden mic,
well, I would be invited back to game night.
Back off, I'm the doctor, dude, alright.
If I had a golden mic,
if I had a golden mic,
well, lonely and horny wouldn't be an exact documentation of my life. If I had a golden mic,
oh, Jake Hurwitz,
if I were you,
if I were you,
if I were you,
if I had a golden mic,
not so many titties on my shelf.
If I had a golden mic,
if I could be anybody.
If I had a golden mic, all my life would be complete.
Oh, I know I get the turdy this week for wanting it too bad. And you know what?
Jake's the man, he gets the golden mic already. That's gotta be a record or something, getting the golden mic in the theme song. You're the man, Jake Hurwitz. And I'm a little turd man collecting turdies. If I Were You show starts now.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.